7:45. Here, the Rough Riders improved to 5-1 now on the season after that 33-27 win over BC. Belton Johnson joins me this morning, Grey Cup champ, part of our Green Zone game day coverage. Morning, Belton. And it is, in fact, a bounce-back win for the Riders.
I'm with you. It was a great bounce-back game. And, you know, it appears that they're on track, right? You know, you look at that first quarter, just look at that, right? And the Riders, they scored on their opening drive. Trevor Harris dropping a bomb, 50-yard touchdown pass to Dante Myers. And, you know, and then on the ensuing kickoff, they caused the fumble, recovered the fumble. You know, for me, I was like, holy cow, I'm thinking Ryder's going to score 50 points this game, right?
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to see how they responded after a loss, and it seems like things clicked for them, doesn't it?
It did, and, you know, the one thing that I saw, Kevin, was, you know, there were some big plays, right? You heard me just say the 50-yard touchdown pass to Dante Myers, and keep in mind, a big play is when you get 20 yards or more on a single play. And, you know, there was a pass where he had the endless 69-yard pass, right? And then there was another 30-yard touchdown pass. And I believe A.J. Ouellette, you know, the opening run was about 20 yards or around that range. And so they came out with vengeance. They knew the mission, and they completed it there. And I'm going to tell you one more thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
Their defense, holy cow. You know, normally we see the bend defense. Man, they were blitzing left, right, linebackers, DBs, running stunts. It was a totally lit defense too, man.
You were satisfied with the defense. What part of the Riders game do you think still needs improvement still, Belton?
The part that still needs improvement, you know, I still think the offense, you know, they're still – clicking here or there, right? You know, they did bring a new offensive lineman in, left tackle Washington. You know, he did pretty good, right, to fill in and everything. But for me, I still say offensively things can improve, right? And the thing I'm looking at is the Elks this weekend, right? Is this going to be a trap game or, you know, like, I just want to see the Riders put somebody away. You alluded earlier there, right, that, you know, it looked like the game was taking off then. It looked like BC was coming back near the end, right? They need to put a team away, like, you know, win 20-plus points for me here.
The Elks are 1-4 on the season, so their record doesn't indicate they're a great team. But the Elks have come into Regina to Mosaic Stadium, and they've beaten the Riders before. So, I mean, they're certainly a team, despite the record, Belton, that the Riders should not overlook.
No, and I hope they don't overlook them, because they have come in here and beat the Riders a few times over the years, right? And but again, the record, the Elks are not a good team. The Riders should be winning by 20-plus points, and That's the one thing that I would like to see them, I guess, improve on is, you know, the teams that you're supposed to beat,
right,
and beat them. Like, put it to them, man.
Yeah, the Riders host the Edmonton Elks coming up on Friday. The Green Zone's Belton Johnson. Thanks for your time this morning, Belton.
Hey, have a good one, Kevin.
Thanks for joining us on this Monday morning. Kevin Martell back for one more day for Greg Morgan. He'll be back tomorrow. Well, for many adopted children, the search for their birth parents isn't just about answers. It can be about finding the missing pieces of who they are, or sometimes just simply saying thanks. As what one Regina man left abandoned at the Pascoe Hospital as a newborn wants to say thanks to his mother. On AD CJME's Abby Zibbering brings us the story.
On March 23rd, 1964, Sherwin Moskovich was found wrapped in blankets, placed in a paper bag, and left in a doctor's car at the hospital in Regina. It wasn't until over 30 years later that Moskovich found out he was abandoned.
So I went to the to the microfiche and ended up finding a picture of that child. And I thought, well, that child, you know, looks too much like me. It was quite a surprise. I mean, I always knew I was adopted. My parents told me I was adopted probably early, at like 5 years old. And I always had it on the back of my mind that I wanted to find out, if I could find out my birth mother.
That began a search for his birth parents, and he eventually found his biological father through DNA testing.
I found out he was still alive and living in Regina, and I got to talk a little bit to him, but his sister was also there, and she didn't want me in the house. So. He didn't remember anyone that he was dating in 63. That's what he told me anyways.
Over the years, there were a few leads on people who could have been his mother, but it never ended in a match. There was even a woman who claimed to be Moskovich's sister. It ended in them flying to Germany for a talk show in the early 2000s, where they did a DNA test on the show.
How did you deal with the first shock when you heard that you've been abandoned? Wie war das für dich, dieser erste Schock, damit umzugehen?
On the TV, they said no. I think everyone was disappointed. It was sad-ish. You know, obviously you're hoping that you're related to somebody, you know? And she looked like me.
Despite all the dead-end roads, Moskovich says he still wants to meet his mother.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, I would love to talk to my mother and just see what was going on, what happened that night. Did she drive herself? Did, you know, somebody drive her? Because, I mean, she just had a baby. I was brand new.
While the decades have passed, Moskovich still holds on to a quiet hope that one day he will find his mother.
Time goes by fast. If I have a chance of meeting her, I better do it now. Chances are she might, you know, be dead, I guess you might say.
And the chance to say the words, "Thank you for giving me life." In Regina, Abby Zivirink, 980 CJME.
Fourteen on your Monday morning. Kevin Martell back for one more day before Greg Morgan returns tomorrow. Well, hey, the Mounties and Regina have a deep history. Of course, it's where all cadets in this country come to train before they're constable or sergeant, maybe even inspector. They start out here, and it's there at Depot. You can take in an RCMP sunset ceremony. There is only one left on the season, and that is tomorrow. Corporal Miles Hebert joins us now on this. Good morning, Corporal. How are you?
I'm well, Kevin. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. So the sunset ceremony. Now, for those who have not heard about it before, because it's not necessarily new, it is a proud tradition for Mounties. Give us a little explainer of what this ceremony is.
Well, actually, the sunset ceremonies themselves have been going on since the 1960s. The sunset ceremony is based on a military tradition when at dusk, when all the soldiers had returned to their post, the flag was lowered in a ceremony marking the end of the day. So in homage to that, we are continuing this tradition, and we are happy to host these sunset ceremonies in the month of July at Depot.
And so I understand there could be, you might want to bring some ear protection, live cannon and rifle fire here so it can get loud.
It will. You know, it can and it does. We've got some historic field pieces that we'll be firing. And in addition to that, we're happy to have as our special guests Parks Canada this year for our final event on Tuesday night. They are celebrating 150 years of Fort Walsh in the Cypress Hills, which was the first RCMP detachment.
And as well, Depot's 140th anniversary this year, too.
That's right. Yeah, we're excited. It's a proud moment for us, and we're happy to have the folks from Regina, and we actually get tourists from all over the world come out and see us. We've got lots of room for everybody. I would suggest you bring a lawn chair where you can sit in the grass and sit around and enjoy the show. The doors open at 5:30, and we start at 6 o'clock.
And so the cadets, they kind of march around, parade around the square there. Is that what they do?
They do. There's going to be dismounted cavalry drill, which the cadets will perform with our live RCMP Depot Division marching band. And there's going to be artillery fire. And we have some cadets in period uniforms from the 1800s, which is interesting to see, as well as of our good friend Safety Bear. So there'll be swag for the kids, and you can come and get your picture with Safety Bear.
If a cadet missteps, does the sergeant major set them straight?
we cut them some slack. We're happy to have them performing, and you know what? They put on a great show. We're happy to have the public out. It's a good chance to have a look inside the gates and see what we do and the beautiful facility that we have here.
Well, thanks for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kevin.
A21. Trying to feel good with this weather forecast. Still one of those days where we're like, okay, where'd summer go? Cloudy, smoky, about to be smoky again. Air quality warnings are up, not here, but for kind of the usual suspects. It feels like up north, kind of north of Saskatoon and Humboldt, they've been under air quality warning for the last month or so. Feels like, as we continue to watch the wildfires up north, 53 active wildfires in this province this morning. Right now, 13 are not contained. Some of those fires are making their way closer to LaLoche. Now the Saskatchewan Health Authority is working to evacuate long-term care residents and patients. The SHA says people will be moved based on individual care needs to facilities in either Bigger or Kindersley. While the SHA is working to move those patients, the LaLoche Health Center and Hospital remains open. Of course, we had a bit of rain here over the weekend. They had a lot of rain last night, apparently, in Saskatoon. You can see pictures right now at CJME.com, and they show flooded streets. Yeah, for the second time in the last couple weeks, some new flash flooding. One picture shows a garbage bin, which was basically turned into an island right in the middle of a road that is filled with water. Knee deep in some places is what people there are telling us. That's not all. There were a couple reports of possible tornadoes from the last couple of days. Environment Canada tells us one did, in fact, touch around Cadillac. That's south of Swift Current. That was from Saturday. So far, no damage is reported. While we did see reports of tornado touchdowns on social media yesterday, southeast of Saskatoon around Allen, for example, the weather office says it has only heard of funnel cloud reports at this point, though it also sounds like Environment Canada is still collecting some information. Was it a big box store over the weekend? School supply section is out. It is busy, too. It was, as you might expect, a lot of parents trying to get everything they need now, spend that money on school supplies items. It's all part of our routine, right, for this time of year, trying to get ready for the school routine. We all have a routine. Sometimes that routine can be a comfort. You go on vacation, and then you come back, and it's nice to settle into that routine. Sometimes, though, a routine can be annoying. But it's adult life, let's face it. There is a term out there. It's called the novelty rule. It encourages people who feel stuck in their routine to venture outside of it. Essentially, the rule states embracing newness is the key to experiencing the novelty of life, however that may look to you. You're supposed to incorporate even tiny bits of novelty, like walking a new route or using colorful pens in your planner to break the monotony of daily routines and make life feel more engaging and playful. Trying new things activates the hippocampus and triggers the release of dopamine, which supports mental well-being, enhances memory, and keeps you feeling curious and sharp. The novelty rule proves you can feel recharged and more present simply by approaching familiar habits in unfamiliar ways. So again, just taking, like we mentioned, something as simple of, and I read this story, I thought, okay, you're going to have to do something drastic. Something new means something drastic. Well, not necessarily. As you heard, taking a new path on a route. We used to walk all over the city. Lately, we've been sticking close to home, but just to, again, just kind of explore a little bit more. You know, we'd go to the Northwest 1 week, and then we'd go to Wascana Park maybe another week. Speaking of Wascana Park, you see the master plan they're working on at City Hall. They've been taking feedback, and now councillors and the mayor are going to be discussing this. How to improve Wascana Center as a whole. What do you do there to make it better? And this is again, part of their master plan. They review it every decade. It includes things like updating public washrooms, expanding picnic sites, park benches, other amenities. The report counsels the mayor looking at suggest pathways, yes, are the feature people like most about Wascana. It's where you think attention and resources should be directed. What else would you like to see in the park? I asked Evan Bray earlier in the show, do you see more restaurants or pubs along the water? We know that public appetite doesn't seem to be there for office buildings, but what about if there were some approvals for, yeah, new restaurants or pubs, more of those along the water so you could sit and have a drink with water as your view? What about like a market, you know, a spot where people could set up, maybe sell their arts and crafts, think of it kind of like the farmer's market, only maybe in Wascana Park somewhere along the water. What about an outdoor music venue for concerts, open-air amphitheater, things like that? What would you like to see?